This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for taking the time today, Dan, to join us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Dan, why don't we start off? If you can tell us a bit about yourself and your company, please.
My company is Functional Golf. I am a golf coach. I've been doing this since 2010 in the Ottawa region. I was in the high tech industry for about 20 years, and as we say, I was in between jobs, and I had some previous experience as a coach with, you know, swimming, diving, and volleyball. So I said, hey, maybe I should be a golf instructor. So that was kind of the objective. And I started to do a lot of playing and practicing to get to pass the playability test with the PGA of Canada. Fortunately, I got injured. And then I learned about the Titus Performance Institute, and got certified with them in 2010. And that's really what got me onto my journey to help golfers play what I like to say, healthier golf.
As in, they're not going to throw their clubs in the trees?
Well, that part, yes, absolutely also, yes.
I know a lot of buddies of mine that could use your help. Dan, why golf? Like, how did you decide on that?
I always had a passion for the sport. I think it was the challenge aspect of golf. And there's a lot of, and I've really taken an appreciation to how people move. So because I've done sports like swimming, you know, diving, volleyball, and all that, I've always kind of had an appreciation for movement. And of course, when you're trying to get ready for a playability test, you know, you really have to start practicing. And when I got injured, again, I knew something was wrong with the fitness side of me, and I needed to do better. And when I went to that seminar, and it was held in Toronto, and Dr. Greg Rose, the co-founder of the Titus Performance Institute, was there. And it just opened up my eyes to the potential of, you know, being able to help golfers, not only talking about, you know, swing mechanics ad nauseum, but really, like, you know, we move a certain way, and there's reasons for that. So, and that really, like I said, got me into my journey where, over time, I also became a certified personal trainer. I did some training with Patrick McCown on breathing, functional breathing. And you were mentioning your friends there with the clubs and the trees and all that. I've also worked with Dr. Rick Sessinghouse on the flow code, which I can offer some strategies to kind of help with managing your game when you're on the course.
So, Dan, pardon my ignorance here, but what's the difference between a golf instructor and a golf coach?
Well, the way I approach it, I guess it's probably more or less the same. But I think what I've seen in the last, you know, I've been doing this since 2010, is that we've moved away from what I call kind of this prescriptive approach, where someone comes to you, you look at the swing, and you talk about flaws and fixes. You know, movement is way more complicated to that. And for me, it's to just keep asking the question why. And sometimes people move a certain way because they've had lower back issues, they've had knee issues, hip replacement. You know, I've seen a lot of things in these 14 years. So for me, coaching is maybe, I'll use the H word, holistic, and that the approach, you know, is a little bit more encompassing. You know, we talk about breathing, we talk about course management, we talk about mental strategies and things like that. So, you know, ultimately for me, it's just really to help people realize their goals. And when people come to me, it's not necessarily because they want to swing the golf club better. You know, there's more to it. They want to increase their enjoyment in golf. So I think that's where, again, golf instructor, golf coach, maybe it means the same thing. But in my definition of a coach, it's maybe something a little bit more encompassing.
So, you know, when you get to a new client, because we all have different body shapes and types and as the older we get, we're dealing with, injuries that have been
Yes.
with us for a long time. So, Dan, do you do like a physical evaluation beforehand to?
Absolutely. So I will do the Taos Performance Institute has fitness screens. So of course we would start with the typical video of the swing, but after that I also kind of do a what I call a medical history. I will ask people about golfers about some injuries they may have had in the past, what sports they've played, what do you do day to day, are they retired, are they working in front of a computer, 10 hours a day, et cetera, et cetera. And really from their goals in terms of what I see, then we kind of build a plan. So yeah, fitness is definitely important because let's say someone who has very, very tight hips and they want to swing like someone like Dustin Johnson. Well, I can tell you that there's a mismatch there. These are there's Golf is a ballistic motion. It puts a lot of stress on the body, and sometimes our practice hygiene's not the best, and that we'll take the driver out and maybe hit it too long on the driving range. So, and I help people with that too in terms of establishing practice routines. But absolutely, fitness is key. Like for me, it's always to try to get an understanding of why people move a certain way.
And are you located at one golf club, or do you move around depending on the
No, I
client's
actually
needs?
work out the Shift Performance and Wellness. It's the Hockey Performance Center in Stittsville.
Yeah.
They've got a great facility now. We have simulators, and yeah, I offer coaching year round in the simulators. I made that decision in May of last year. I had previously provided co coaching out of a golf course in Ottawa, and I decided to just focus exclusively at Shift. Not really knowing if I was going to be that busy in the summer, but actually, as it turns out, I think I'm not the only one who doesn't like to be on the driving range, whether it's like 38 plus, with Humidex or with the bugs, the rain. And so it's been a great, great partnership with the people at Shift Performance.
Good for you. Dan, what would be like who's coming to see you for this? What level? Are you getting beginners? Are you
Well, I
getting
get beginners. Because I offer, we have the ability to offer semi-private lessons. So we have two simulators side by side in an enclosed room. I've been seeing a lot of, for example, one partner might have played golf for a long time, and the other partner wants to get into the game. I see that. I see some of the more elite players that play in the intersectionals. I actually see quite a lot of people that have been having to deal with lower back issues or injuries, and I also see people that are preparing for retirement, and they know that if they're going to be playing golf three, four times a week, well, they have to get their body prepared for that also. It's changed a lot. I think just like golf over over the pandemic, the demographics have changed a lot. We're definitely seeing younger people get into the game, and women definitely are leading the charge. Are definitely way more women golfing than before.
What about families, Dan? Do you get a lot of families coming in?
Occasionally, we'll have a son and the dad coming along for lessons together, but I do mostly private and semi-private coaching.
And how long is a typical lesson? I assume there's a you can almost overdo it in this kind of situation.
It's about an hour,
Yeah.
although I also offer 30-minute lessons, mostly in the summer. People don't really want to be doing anything that could impact their golf swing, so they'll come in and we'll work on things like rhythm. Probably, like most of the time, that's one of the I wouldn't call it a quick fix, but definitely when we get tired, dehydrated, or if we've played a little bit too much golf in a week, timing seems to go a little bit awry.
And do you get many advanced kind of scratch golfers?
Oh, I do actually. Yeah,
Okay.
I've got and they find me typically through the TPI website. And again, there are people that they're older gentlemen and some inspects who are now competing against the young lads that the club head speed has increased tremendously in the last decade. Tiger kind of led the charge, but I work with young guys, hockey players now that, 120 mile per hour club head speed, 180 mile an hour ball speed. I didn't see that 10 years ago. So a lot of the younger people that come to me are already like pretty athletic and, hockey players, baseball players, etc.
What about the gear itself, Dan? Have you seen a lot of changes in the last decade? The equipment that's used, and does it really have that much of an impact? It seems like all the time they're coming out with the latest driver that'll get you another 10 yards. At some point, that's got to stop.
I think at one time the USGA definitely, I don't know if you remember the good old was it the COR, the coefficient of I can't remember exactly what that acronym meant, but it basically they did put some limits in terms of the size of the driver head, the square grooves. There was a couple of things they did. There's been an ongoing discussion around the ball itself, like the greats, like Jack Nicklaus has suggested that they kind of scale back the ball and all that. In terms of the equipment for recreational players, definitely they've made progress. Like the equipment that we have now compared to what in the 70s with my first set of Spaldings, it's the equipment is really, really good now for both the more advanced but also people who are getting into the game.
And do you run into this situation very often that people come to you and they've done research online
Oh, absolutely. And that's again, I think when we are looking at some of the trends in the industry, there's a lot of information on YouTube. A lot of it is contradictory. If you follow some people, I don't get me wrong, there's some fantastic coaches on YouTube, people that I follow personally. But there's also an element sometimes of, we're always agreeing to disagree. So what I've found in recent years is a lot of people are way more are way better educated about the golf swing than 14 years ago. So they come to me and they understand things like the kinematic sequence, ground reaction forces. In the past, you might have heard of the X factor and things like that. But my role with these people usually is more of a sounding board. And I'm pretty much of a belief that there is no one perfect swing. There is a good swing for you, but I'm not tied to one particular swing style. I recently started to do some training with a brilliant biomechanist in the States and who's still relatively unknown, and that just really blows me away. But he's identified a number of golfer profiles, and then he's been able to kind of match things like hip rotation, hand path, grip, etc., etc. But back to your point, yeah, definitely people come to me and they'll start a conversation with, oh, I just saw this on YouTube. They talk about a drill or they talk about a concept. And we'll talk and talk with it. And sometimes I'll tell them, well, that's a great idea, but let's look at some of the requirements on the body. If you want to be completely open at impact, let's make sure your hips can't rotate because your lower back or your knees can't take it up. They're not the ones that'll be able to make up for any lack of mobility in the hips.
The reason why I asked that question is I used to be that guy. When I was out golfing 30, 40 times a year, I was reading all these things. And I remember once, this is a long time ago, but I read this article that convinced me that my clubs were too long. So I brought all my clubs in. Back then there was Chuck Brown Golf. It doesn't exist
Oh,
anymore.
yes.
I took it to the guy. I said, I want 4 inches off all these clubs. And he looks at me and goes, well, why do you want to do that? I said, I read this article. He says, you should spend your money on lessons instead of this. And it was a great line. And thank God I never cut my clubs down like that one article. I was so convinced of that. It's amazing all the gadgets that are associated with this sport, right? That are gonna improve your game overnight. And anyway, really interesting business. Dan, let's kind of switch gears a little bit now and talk about kind of your entrepreneurial journey. So when you mentioned, you're in tech before this, did you always kind of have it in you to want to have your own business, or it just came as a result of circumstance?
I had been involved with a number of startups. I mean,
Okay.
typically, I would have been with a number of people, and even going to the stage where I was part of some presentation to some VCs or venture capitalists and all that. So maybe, yeah, maybe I did have kind of that entrepreneurial spirit, or I had it a little bit in me. But to just go off on my own, that was the next, that was a pretty important step, or a big step for me, for sure.
And can you share with our listeners what that was like for you? You know, a lot of our listeners are people that are either running businesses or people that are thinking of starting a business. And a lot of them I hear from our listeners are really kind of on the fence, you know, and they're waiting for something to happen to kind of push them over to the other side. So can you take us through that a little bit, please?
Yeah, I think for me the biggest challenge once I started was, for the longest of time, I had a little bit of what one calls the imposter syndrome,
Yep.
because, you know, being a coach for golf and having really played it since I was a young lad, or, you know, played competitively and all that. But I felt that the more I network with people, and I attended many World Golf Fitness summits where, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to people like Sean Foley, Brian Manzella, Chuck Cook, et cetera, Dr. Rose, and then some other really, you know, important coaches that would also admit to the fact that, you know, from time to time they also had a little bit of that imposter syndrome. For me, I think my go-to reflex was to maybe over-prepare. So I did a lot of certification. You were talking about technology, like I acquired some technologies to help, you know, coaching and stuff like that. But I think ultimately, I realize that when people come to you, it's not necessarily because of your tools or the certification. Don't get me wrong, they still like to see the accreditation, but, you know, they won't spend that much time on it. You know, they will filter you pretty rapidly. It's all about really, you know, solving problems. It's really about allowing them to realize their goals. And it's not always about, you know, hitting the driver 250 yards. It's not always about, you know, a certain score. There's, you know, you need to be able to ask the question why several times. And I think for me now, you know, having all these certifications and accreditation is, it's not so much to be able to provide the answers right away. So, you know, that reflex, you see someone swing and right away you want to fix something. Being able to throttle that back a lot and just basically start asking, you know, questions why, because there's more than one reason why someone will do or swing the club a particular way. It's not always the fitness. Sometimes they've seen something on YouTube. Maybe it's their mental model. Maybe they're entirely new to it. Maybe they've played field hockey. Maybe they've played baseball. So there's many reasons. So I think, in my sense, what I would recommend sometimes is it's good to prepare, but you know, you really have to jump into it with both feet, and just, you know, people sense passion, and if you're really passionate about it, and if you continue to build your toolkit, I'm still doing certification, but it's again. And for me, it's really because I want to make sure that the coaching I provide is effective, it's personalized, and all that. It's not because I'm selling the diploma that comes with it. So, my recommendation for anyone who's thinking about becoming a coach is really, like, if you have the passion already, I think you're already able to help people realize some of their goals, and don't hold back.
Thanks, Dan. I'm curious, how did you get your first few clients? Like, how did you get some momentum in this business?
Well, it's really about networking. So at the time, I was networking with a golf course, and because I initially was coming at more from the fitness side of it, that there was an interest, because again, Tiger, you look at the year 2000, he was doing things that no one else did. So people were, you know, I was talking with various golf pros around Ottawa, and they understood that, you know, there was something more than just, you know, teaching the swing mechanics. You needed to start looking at how someone moved. You had to start looking at fitness limitations, all of that. So I did a lot of networking. I started reaching out to physical therapists, chiropractors. I think that would be another recommendation in terms of, you know, people that are looking to provide coaching or you know, fitness services, is definitely expand your network. Your network, I have quite a few referrals now from people who are more on the medical side of things, because they have, golfers were having to deal with injuries and stuff like that. So that was kind of my approach. I think networking was the key, really.
That's good advice. Dan, for someone that's listening that is currently running a business, maybe struggling a little bit, as we all do as entrepreneurs, is there any tips or advice you'd give that individual?
I think the biggest thing and that one will struggle with, and I do too, is time management. So anything you can do to simplify the approach. And sometimes, I can be my own worst enemy in terms of just wanting to have things too perfect. So I think sometimes there's just so many times you can review a brochure or work on the website. And I think you really need to be able to prioritize your time and see it and almost budget it on a weekly basis. And that's still something I struggle now. And I'm not complaining. I was just at the Ottawa Gatineau Golf Expo this past weekend at the Y Center. So I was, I offered at least 20 lessons, and I met a lot of new prospective clients. So it's really all about the prioritization of the work and making sure that you get back to the people as soon as possible. So I'd say time management, and that will probably take care about also in terms of, we are as an entrepreneur, I get constantly bombarded by people offering services to, improve my ranking on Google, et cetera, et cetera. So I if that service can help you save some time and it's not too costs too not too costly, I would recommend, not trying to do everything yourself.
There was a book written, I believe it was in the mid-80s, called The E-Myth, by Michael Gerber, and he coined the term, work on the business, not in the business. And that's as true today as it was when he wrote that book. I think as business owners, we often make sure we carve out a certain number of hours every week to not, to focus on the business, not just work in it. And I anyone that comes to me for one piece of advice, that's kind of my go-to piece of advice. And that dovetails nicely with what you were talking about time management. Sometimes we can get sucked into the minutiae of things that that are going to take us away from potentially growing our business. Dan, thanks for doing this. Where can our listeners find out more about you and your services?
So my website is functional.golf. So I'm located now with at Shift Performance and Wellness at 145 Ivor Road, and you can follow me on Instagram. It's the handle is functional.golf. So I was lucky that I was able to get quite a few handles. Also, I think with the Blueski Facebook, I believe it's function.golf, but I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with you today.
Thanks so much for your time, Dan. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.